This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a gray, rainy morning, but we have gathered together in the house of God or online to worship the living God together, and I'm so glad to be with all of you. I would invite you, those who are in the sanctuary and those who are joining us on live stream or Facebook, to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us this morning. You can do that online by following the link that's on the screen right now or in the registration pads that are at the end of each row if you're in the sanctuary. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love for you to reach out with an email address or a mailing address and give us an opportunity to have some conversation with you. If you are worshiping in the sanctuary, on the bulletin there's a QR code that takes you to all of the digital links. If you'd rather use digital resources during the worship service, those will be available to you that way. Let's see, a few announcements as we gather this morning. Several West Enders enjoyed the festivities at Pride yesterday afternoon, morning and afternoon, and the festival continues at the Bicentennial Mall today, and it goes until 6 o'clock. So if you want to brave the weather and head out, you can look for the United Methodist Church booth area and see some friendly faces there. This afternoon at 5 o'clock is our service of Teze worship, a contemplative service of prayer and music, and you can participate either online or in person here in the sanctuary. Next Sunday is our church picnic at Richland Park. It will be outdoors from 4:30 to 6:30, and it's an informal bring-your-own dinner and just a chance to be together and have some fellowship for all of us of all ages. So we hope you'll come and join us in Richland Park at 4:30 next Sunday. Also next weekend, we are looking for volunteers for our habitat build. And on the back of your bulletin, there's more information on how to find out how to sign up for the build next weekend. We are finishing up our series on homecoming dance this morning. Starting next week, we'll be in the Gospel of Mark through most of the fall. So as our third graders are getting their Bibles today, I would encourage all of us to spend some time reading the Gospel of Mark over the upcoming weeks so all of us together can be sharing in that reading together. But today, we get to dance with King David, a dance of adoration and joy. So let us join our voices in our full-bodied worship of God on this day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing before the Holy One. Dance before the Holy One.
Let every soul dance for joy.
Let us give honor and glory to the Holy One.
May our hearts rejoice as we worship our God.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within God's perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Lord of the dance, creator of the whirling winds and shimmering flames, we confess that too often we fail to be moved by your spirit. We are charmed by the comfort of routine, and we grant too much power to the opinions of others. Forgive us, Holy One. Breathe life into our songs of worship and set our hearts ablaze with your word. May we worship you with boundless joy, and may you delight in our offerings of praise. In Christ's name we pray. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Please keep COVID policies in place. Say peace from a distance. Do what you feel comfortable. And those online, please text a friend or write in the chat. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 6, 12-22. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord, who chose me in place of your father and all his household, to appoint me as the prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
To come and join us at the rail, we're going to present our third graders with their Bibles. We're celebrating this special milestone with our families today, and they are receiving their third grade Bibles. It's a long tradition in the Methodist Church and here at West End. We are excited for them to receive the Word of God and to be able to read it and study it and fall in love with Scripture and with God, and to better learn how to love God and their neighbors. So, as I call your name, if you'll come forward, and Pastor Carol will give you your Bible. Jamison Berry. Yeah, go back. Francesca Fazio. Grayson Hollett. Miles Racine. Sydney Tatum, Eva Grace Woodall. All right, third graders, if you'll find the piece of paper in the front of your Bibles, and congregation, if you will find the litany in your bulletins, we will say that together. Receive the word of God.
Learn its stories and study its words. Its stories belong to us all. And these words speak to us all. They tell us who we are. They tell us that we belong to one another, for we are the people of God.
We rejoice in this step in your faith journey. We pray God will guide you, your family, and this congregation as you use this Bible in your home, in your small group, and in our worship. We will learn together and grow in our love for God's world. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right. Third graders, you can have a seat. Congratulations. At this time, we're going to invite any 3 to 5-year-olds to join myself and Pastor Nancy in the chapel for Children's Church.
As they make their way, I'll just say how excited I am for you third graders to get this Bible. I still remember my third grade Bible. I still have my third grade Bible. It's in my office. So if you ever want to take a look at it, it's really big and it's got cool pictures in it. So I hope that you enjoy your Bible and you love reading the stories of God's people. One of the things I love about our Holy Scriptures is that there are so many different stories and so many different perspectives and voices. Even an amazing heroic character like King David is complicated. And we get stories of David at his best and at his worst. I'm so grateful for our ancestors in the faith who passed down many, many different stories about King David. Now, some of you know that King David is seen perhaps as the greatest king Israel has ever known. Even modern-day Israel has on it the Star of David. He was a great king, a tremendous leader in so many ways, but he wasn't perfect. On the one hand, the scriptures show us that King David was a man after God's own heart. That's how he's described in some places in the scriptures. He is someone who loved God and wanted to serve God and wanted to be the man that God wanted him to be. He was a great leader, beloved by his people. And yet at the same time, David wasn't perfect. Perhaps his greatest sin we know of is his sin against Bathsheba and his attempt to kill Bathsheba's husband and then to cover it all up. And that story is passed down to us. There are many who read the stories of David as a somewhat manipulative, politically savvy leader who knew how to work things and keep himself in power. There are problematic things about David as well. But in our story this morning, I believe we are seeing David at his best. We are seeing him at a moment of raw emotion and open-hearted love for his God. What's happening in this story is that David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, at this point, was not the capital of Israel. There's no temple that's been built there yet. There's no palace of the king that's in Jerusalem. But it is David who decides to make Jerusalem the center of life for the Israelites. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, the Jews believed, was a piece of furnishing from the tabernacle that they had carried with them all through the wilderness. It was believed to hold in some mysterious way the very presence of God. Not to contain the presence of God, but to hold it and convey it in some way. And it had traveled with them all through the wilderness and into the promised land. And it had been in Shiloh for a long time, cared for by the priest Eli. But then David decides it's time to bring it to Jerusalem. Now, it had a long journey, and there's a whole story you can read. It got stolen by the Philistines for a while, but it caused a lot of trouble in their midst, so they gave it back. It's kind of a funny part of the story, but now is the moment where David is bringing the ark, bringing the special, mysterious presence of God into Jerusalem, and he is rejoicing, and he is worshiping. And you'll notice how he does that. All he is wearing is a linen ephod, which to my understanding is just a sleeveless tunic that the priests, the Levites, would have worn. So it's as if David has consecrated himself to make himself worthy of bringing the ark back into Jerusalem. But he's not wearing anything underneath that ephod. He has removed all of his kingly garments, anything that has to do with his role as king or as anything else as a person except as one consecrated to God. And so he's exposed in a way that is sort of inappropriate in some people's eyes, as we'll find out. But he doesn't care. He is out there dancing before the ark with all of his might. He is dancing as if no one but God is watching. But someone else is watching. You can see her in the picture on our bulletin cover, over to the side, looking from behind a curtain. Her name is Michal, and she is David's wife. Now, she too is a complicated person. She has her own story, and there may be reasons why she reacts to this moment in this way, and I would invite you to go read the story on your own and come to your own conclusions about Michal. But in this moment, she sees David dancing, half-clothed, in front of the whole world, and she despises him for it. She is ashamed and embarrassed by his inappropriate behavior. It is vulgar, she says, indecent. She's horrified by what she sees. So we have David on the one hand offering his whole self to God in vulnerability and openness, and we have Michael who is judging him and scoffing at him for what he's doing. It reminds me a little bit of another story from the New Testament. When Jesus is reclining at the table of one of the religious leaders with a group of men, because that was what was appropriate then, and in walks into the room a woman, breaking all rules of decorum, acting in a way that is indecent, and she throws herself at Jesus' feet, breaks open an alabaster jar of expensive ointment, and begins to weep and wash his feet. And Jesus' host is horrified by this indecent behavior. Do you know what kind of woman this is? If you only knew how inappropriate it was for her to be touching you right now. So we have this woman offering this wholehearted adoration for Jesus and the love and grace she has received in him. And the spirit of Michael within this religious leader judging her and scoffing at her. And I have to wonder, as I see this dynamic in this story, where is my spirit? Am I more inclined to worship God and dance before God as if no one is watching, to offer myself wholeheartedly in love to God? Or is it more like me to sit back a little bit and decide what's appropriate and what isn't, and to be embarrassed when someone goes too far with that sort of thing? I wonder, is it more the spirit of David or the spirit of Michael? The spirit of the woman with the alabaster jar, or the spirit of the religious leader that is at work in me? Well, the story goes on. David goes home, and Michael comes out to greet him and says, with her sarcasm dripping from her voice, "How impressive the king of Israel was today, dancing in front of everybody, in front of not just the servants, but the servants of the servants." She has this sense of what's appropriate for someone of David's stature. And then David responds to her and says, "You know, for the sake of God, I will make myself even more contemptible. I'll make myself even more embarrassing. I will become more vile." And that's a line that John Wesley used once. John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, was an ordained Anglican priest. And an Anglican priest was meant to preach from the pulpit of his church and to do pastoral care within the boundaries of his parish. But you didn't go preach in someone else's parish. You stayed within your lines. You obeyed the rules of decorum and decency and respect. But he kept being invited by George Whitefield to come out to the outskirts of Bristol and preach outdoors to the coal miners and the poor and those who were struggling under the thumb of poverty in England in the 18th century. And he finally wrote in his journal that he had decided to make himself more vile and to violate the rules of decorum and decency and go and preach in the fields. He even joked that he had convinced himself that souls could only be saved within the four walls of a church. But he stepped away from that, and he went and preached to 3,000 people, and the Methodist movement caught fire. He was willing to break the rules, to stir up trouble, to love God and love his neighbor in ways that others might look upon and judge. He was willing to dance as if no one but God was watching. Am I willing to dance as if no one but God is watching? Or am I one of those voices that says, "Oh, you know, just kind of keep it, don't cause too much trouble, be nice, be polite"? I can't help but think about that group of white pastors who wrote a letter to Martin Luther King Jr. as he sat in Birmingham jail. Good-hearted people. They were supportive of desegregation. They were supportive of the work that he was doing, but they wrote him this letter to say, "You know, don't you think you should just slow it down a little bit? Just lower the volume. take it a little easier. People will be able to hear you better. You're making people too uncomfortable. You're causing too much trouble. And so King's letter from a Birmingham jail is in response to that letter from those pastors. And I have to wonder, would I have signed that letter? I don't know. Maybe the spirit of Michael is at work enough in me that I would have. But I see David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant with all his heart as if no one but God is watching. I see the woman breaking open her alabaster jar of very expensive ointment in front of all of those judgmental men. I see John Wesley stepping out and preaching in the fields with the institution of the church scowling at him. I see Martin Luther King Jr. continuing his movement, writing his letter in spite of all who were telling him to slow down and calm down and stay within his lane. And by the grace of God, I pray that we might be those who are willing to dance as if no one but God is watching, and to see what God will do with us.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join us as we affirm our faith, number 883, in our hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in our sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks that you can place in the offering boxes at the back of the sanctuary in the narthex or to the side in Reed Hall following the service this morning. This morning we celebrate three births. The first is Millie Ann Pendergrass, who was born on September 2nd to Ann Stewart and Pearson Pendergrass in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's also welcomed by her siblings, Liza and Ford Pendergrass, and her grandparents, Jean Ann and Barry Banker. We celebrate the birth of Wells Patrick Flick, who was born September the 13th to Jamie and Ben Flick. He's also welcomed by his big sister, Vera Flick. And last but not least, we celebrate the birth of Martin Tripp Wiegand III, who was born on September 16th to Martin and Jane Wiegand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creator God, like the heavens that tell of your glory, like the lilies and sparrows that tell of your faithfulness, we join with all of creation in praising you this day. We give you thanks for the wonder of movement, of using our unique and diverse bodies and abilities to worship you. Whether we leap for joy or lift up our spirits, whether we sing our praise or speak our adoration, whether we raise our arms or simply open our hands, we ask that you would receive our offerings of worship. Yet we admit, O God, that we do not always feel joyful. We do not always feel like dancing. The sorrow and struggles of our world can feel heavy and burdensome. And sometimes it is all we can do to lift up our heads to begin a new day. When we feel this way, O God, help us to offer our burdens to you. Send others to come alongside us that we might know that we are not alone. Lighten our loads and lift us up, that we might once again experience the joy of your salvation. We remember, too, others who carry heavy burdens this day. We remember those who are sick, those who struggle with chronic pain or chronic illness. We remember those who have lost loved ones, those who feel lonely. We remember the hungry and those who do not have shelter. And we remember those who are displaced, who yearn for a home that is no longer what it once was. To all of these, O God, grant your healing, your comfort, your provision, and your peace. On this Pride weekend, we also remember your LGBTQIA+ children, especially those who have experienced rejection and trauma because of who they are. May they know deeply on this day and all days how very beloved they are. O God, guide each of us in bearing witness to your love and grace in this world. Lead us as we join in your creative and recreating work. Help us to dance with joy, in body or in spirit, as we give you glory. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to offer our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes, as I mentioned, in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary or through the side doors where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, along with our hearts, to our God who loves us unconditionally.
We go now to dance for the world the love of God. If you had planned to go and share the love of God at Pride Festival this afternoon, we just got word it's been canceled because of the weather. So find new ways, other ways. May all of us find ways to share the love of God, to dance as if only God is watching, so that the world might catch that joy and take it in, that all may have peace and love this day and forever. Amen.